Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
I will begin to say that, you know, they say that the 30s and the 40s were the good old days.
Mm.
They were good social, but they were hard.
Right.
Really hard. And I'm not telling you a word of a lie. We weren't starved, but we had one, not an empty house, I don't know about them, but in our house, we were mother and father, my grandmother, and three children. One egg for Easter, real egg for Easter,
mm.
and that was it.
Mm. And what were your meals like?
Well, the meals were good. My mother always could make a broth or a stew. We never went hungry then, put it that way.
Mm.
Never went hungry. We had, and I remember my father worked for 12-hour shifts, I beg your pardon, 6-hour shifts in the Elba Tin Works.
Mm.
He'd come home, 6 to 12 midnight. My mother would have his, what it probably is, a dinner, a meat dinner, and the smell of cooking would come up the stairs, because the stairs run, as I told you, straight into the bedroom,
mm-hmm.
no doors. Down the stairs, open the curtain, doing the living room.
Right, yeah.
There was one living room, and that was it, nothing else.
Yeah.
Nothing else at all.
So kitchen, though?
Pardon?
Kitchen, separate?
No, not a kitchen as such.
Mm.
Just I can see it now, just a sink and a small table. That's where my mother spent many months in hospital.
You did.
Because if you can picture that being the fire,
mm-hmm.
the oven was really attached to the fire.
Yeah.
Gas ring was here, the table was here, we were in school, but my father, and she was at the table doing this. She turned around and her dress went around like that and caught
fire.
Her.
Fire.
And
oh.
Caught from there, well, from there up to the neck. She was laid on her stomach in the hospital.
Yeah.
Because my father said to us, don't eat, we were afraid you'll see Mum, and she had a cage over her, of course.
Mm.
So there was no, but she always, then the smell of cooking, and I was a very late sleeper, no, and he'd come up, a spoon of meat, and I'd taste this now before I go down, that sort of thing. But rough food in a way, you know, bread and jam and cheese and things like that.
Mm.
But we never went hungry.
Yeah.
Never went hungry. Because my father was lucky, he had constant work. I mean, people without the work suffer terrible.
Yeah.
But he had constant work in the Elba Tin Plate Works.
So had he not had constant work, how would you have eaten? Where would you get food?
Well, a lot of people then made their own bread and made their own bread.
Mm.
We used to go up then to the slaughterhouse, which was down Divati Street.
You know
Divati Street?
Yeah.
It was a garage. It's a garage now, I think.
I know the place. Yeah,
it was a car park just past Divati. That was the slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
Go up there and get 3 pence of sweetbreads
mm.
or things like that from out there. And thrap and she'd have a load of them like that, see?
Yeah.
But beautiful. My mother always managed to find something to cook, one meal only.
Mm.
We had one cooked meal.
Mm.
But he was born into it, so nothing strange about it.
Yeah.
You know, now, and he never wore long trousers when he was in school.
Mm.
Always short.
Cold knees.
Yes, and boots with studs in to save the leather.
Mm.
No shoes.
Mm-hmm.
That was the uniform, different things. But as I say, he was born into it, no problem whatsoever, like, you know.
Mm.
But so
what do you remember lessons being like?
Well, I always liked arithmetic for the starter.
Yeah.
But we didn't have what's got now, logarithms and all that sort of thing. Just standard, but I always liked figures, and I always liked go to the manual, or I couldn't do it. I didn't like painting and things like that.
Mm.
But I always liked, up to the last, the teacher would give you something to do yourself, then put it that way.
Yeah.
And gather what they could make of it after.
Mm.
But before that, of course, it was reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Mm.
That was the.
And a blackboard.
And a blackboard and chalk.
Teacher up the front.
And desk with two to a desk.
Mm.
And inkwells with an ordinary pen.
Yeah, the dip pen. Well, Bernard, that's how I went to school, inkwell and the dip pen.
Yes.
And I was born in 51.
The desk with the top lifted up, exercise books in.
Mm.
But I can't say that I was sorry to leave school, but I did like school while I was in it.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever go back and do training for any anything in work or anything?
No, qualifications? Well, no, because of course I got married then, and money was the thing then, you know, and of course my son was born then, a year after. But I always did, up until the National Health, at the time, I left school at 14, and I was 51 when I got into the figuring. As I say, I used my head as a foreman, but I did a lot of hard work in the potteries around the strand there.
The potteries were still going.
Are they still going?
No, the pottery was actually still running as a pottery then.
Yes, well, I was one. I'm going back to 19. I left school in 37. About 1940. No, after the war, of course, I did my 5 years in the army. Say about 1950. Now, you're going down the strand under the arch. And then you turn sharp and go up beside the railway station.
Yeah.
Down there, the Towy River was going out there, and a horse and cart would come in with the cement and all that. And my job was to fill the bucket, the barrow, and wheel it up the big wheel.
Was it the clay?
The clay, I should say. Wheel it to the big wheel. Now, there was two worths. Because of the weather, the clay was as heavy as lead, and we pushed it up. In the summer, the clay was nearly melted, but we got it in. Anyway, I stuck that for a bit, and I couldn't stand the foreman, and I left it. Then, do you know Goss Road?
Yes.
Do you remember Evans Medical, the big stores there?
No.
Behind, which is now the big garage.
Okay.
You went down Goss. Now, that was Evans Medical. That was a wholesale medical distributing to the chemists around the area. Now, I had a job in that one at what they called, what was the word, you know? Outside, anyway. I was the man with the trolley when the lorry went to put it on my trolley and take it in and put it in the shelves.
Yes, yes.
All women, very few men, all women. Well, of course, I came out from a foreman just telling you what to do. Do that article, I lost a stone in no time. And I, the two brothers Thomas as they were, they had the women crying. But you know, come on, get on with it, all that business. But I couldn't take it any longer.
Yeah.
So I told, do you know where you should be? I said, there are two of them. Where? In the concentration camps, he said, in Germany. Get out. No, I said, you sack me and I'll go on the dole. But I was glad to get out today.
Yeah.
Because everything was hard work. Well, I worked as a boy at 14.
You were hard work, but nasty as well.
Half past 7, half past 4 or 5 days a week, 7 and 6.
Yeah.
But everybody was the same. There's no
high
profile at all. Everybody was the same.
I'm curious about the big wheel that you took the clay to.
Well, that was like, imagine a big wheel, that was a stone wheel, that width, going around and around, and the clay going in. In lumps like that.
Yeah.
Well, as that was going around,
grinding.
For an example, this is on the floor, this is coming, that would grind that down and around, till what came out then was like that they could put it on with a trowel sort of thing.
Yeah.
And that was, but it was a heavy job. And a horse and cart, as they say, would bring it to the landing, and then we wheeled it up, I wheeled it, there's only one man, up to where the man was shoveling it in there.
Yeah, yeah.
I was glad to get out of that job.
I didn't realise the pottery's ran for that long.
Well, I left there then. Where did I go from there? Must have been about 19, later than that. I left there, and then I went to a caretaker in St David's School down the bottom of the town there.
Ah, okay.
Now, that wasn't a bad job, but I know cleaners there, I had to do that myself.
Mm.
Climb up the ladder to the top windows, you know.
Yeah.
All right in the summer, because I'd go down. Didn't have the big, there was a big, for want of a better word, a furnace down under the school, which was coal fired.
Yeah.
That was my job in the winter to keep that going.
Yeah.
I had to be down there by 7 o'clock in the morning so that the classroom would be warm for the children.
Yeah.
But then there was summer, I could go down just before 9 to open up, you know.
Yeah.
I liked that because I liked the children all around you, you know.
It was that school by the church?
By St Mary's. By St David's, next door.
So it's gone now because they built that St David's shopping centre.
That's there. Right. Now that was it. And I know, because I was the caretaker, the priest's house was next door to the church, and they'd come knocking at their door, much tramps in it from, but the housekeeper used to give me sandwiches, you know.
Yeah.
They didn't want, I'd be picking them up and they'd say, David's yard, you throw them with the wall.
Oh.
Money they wanted, see.
Right.
But I liked that job because the children, and I never forget, my wife passed away then. And I used to go down to meet my son. He was a deputy head of St. David's School at that time.
All right.
And I'd take him out to lunch, you see.
Mm.
I'd sit in there waiting for this guy. And all these little boys, I'd go, hello, Mr. Reese, hello, Mr. Reese. How old are you now? I was 17. So the other comes, see, Mr. Reese, he's only 70.
Yeah.
I told for Peter, he was laughing. I liked that job because of the children.
The children,
know?
Yeah.
But my loving job, too, was the Bringwen and the National Health.
Mm.
And it isn't because it could go in with a collar and tie, but it's so vertical.
Mm.
But as I say, I worked from 14 till I was 65.
Yeah.
Including the army service, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I worked 51 years.
You stuck?